Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the latest episode of the Coin Journal podcast. I am your host, Dan Ashmore, financial analyst here at Coin Journal. And today we're going to talk crypto exchanges. We've got a great guest on the line, Eli Tan, who is Vice President of Operations at the Philippines-based exchange Coins.ph. How are you doing today, Eli?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. Hope you're doing well as well.
Yeah, I'm doing well, thanks. Before we get into crypto exchanges and the rest of it, do you maybe want to start with telling us about how you your personal journey in crypto and how you got into the area you're working right now?
Yeah, definitely. So I think personally, like, you know, the first instance that I really got to know of like crypto in general, right? I guess this is during like my uni days, you know, like obviously back then, you know, like heard and learned a lot about it, but never really dived deep into it. So I guess like personal journey wise, what happened was I went on to just on traditional finance side, right? I spent slightly more than 7 years at Goldman Sachs. And then I think what eventually happened there is that I saw that there was like a huge need of, you know, like just innovation and a much needed disruption, right? And then that's when I decided to leave the bank. And then that's when I found like, you know, crypto as a full-time thing, right? So I joined Binance and I spent about like, you know, 2 years there, some time in like the fiat exchange operations and also like some time on like the spot operations side of things. So what happened is that, you know, like we kind of like learned about the coins just slightly a year plus ago, right? And what happened is that we found that there was there was a very interesting opportunity here, just starting from like the landscape itself, you know, like Philippines like doesn't need any introduction, right? It's like, you know, the second largest market in Southeast Asia. It's always like, you know, at the top of the list in terms of like the user growth and also like the potential as well. And I guess like, you know, a lot of it got amplified further by like the play to earn adoption, which brought like, you know, millions and millions of like local Filipino users to actually join the Web3 revolution at the very start of it. Coins actually presented itself as a very interesting opportunity for myself. You know, given that it's a really old brand, right? Like it started in 2014, you know, like one of the earliest licensed crypto exchange here in Philippines as well. It's actually turning 9 years old, actually. It just turned 9 years old. And like, it's also one of the first, you know, companies in Asia to actually hold both like the crypto license, which is like the VASP, and also like an EMI, which is like a electronic money issuer license as well. So it's basically positioned very uniquely, which subsequently led to the buyout with Geoffrey Capital, right? And then that's also like when myself and also like the rest of the team have joined, you know, like to really take part and try to do more with coins, right? Because like what we noticed was that there was, you know, like a lot that we could have served the market better, right? The market was just lacking like a proper license exchange that could, you know, really fulfill the user's need. And, you know, like the market itself being so interesting, it was just just an opportunity that we couldn't pass on it. I guess like coming back to like what we are really focused on, what we are really trying to build, right, is that, you know, on top of like the e-wallet functionality, you know, we're really trying to make coins as a gateway into Web3. Right, we're also trying to like experiment with different type of like products to really serve like just users on like different spectrums of things, right? Like we want to allow people to be able to trade, you know, with like a simple user interface. We want people to be able to trade like professionals, such as our Coins Pro. We have our Web3 gaming kind of like a sub business line as well as a Coins Arcade that really allows users to play Web3 games without, you know, really going through like the whole funding of like your own MetaMask wallet, and then trying to like get through all of the hoops that we think are just generally barriers if like see people are just new to Web3 and they want to pick up. I guess that's like the summary of like, you know, what we're trying to get to here.
Okay, so you're at heart like a Wall Street crossover from TradFi to crypto. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, kind of, because I think this kind of like almost like 3.5 years ago, right? Like at that point in time, it was actually kind of rare. I believe like the first batch of people have actually made the switch over, but you know, we'll increasingly see more and more people, you know, like with TradFi background, starting to recognize like the relevance of crypto and the importance of it, you know, like serving in the market as a new asset class as well.
Okay, and did you? Where did you go first when you crossed over from TradFi? Because you were at Binance for a brief period, weren't you?
Yeah. So I actually left Goldman Sachs basically in from banking, right? So like the funny story was that, like, you know, for myself, actually I dabbled in different lines previously. You know, like I dealt with like derivatives, I dealt with like margin lending, which is kind of like a margin spot trading in crypto world, right? But it's obviously for like TradFi equivalent. And then I also went into like equities for a bit. But you know, essentially like the conclusion that I got for myself is that there's just, you know, like a lack of innovation, right? And then I guess the same for like any sort of industry, any sort of like business, if like say, you know, that you don't see innovation, it's just a matter of time until someone comes up and like, you know, replace it or like, you know, take the place of it, right? So yeah, that's actually like, you know, the main reason why I made that switch myself.
Okay, interesting. And are you still as bullish as ever on crypto/blockchain kind of innovating in this space? Like, do you think it's going to have tangible impacts on the traditional finance world?
Yeah, so funny enough that yeah, no, like, I usually get this question a lot, right? But I guess like for me, it's also like quite different from me as compared to some other people that I speak with, right? Because like for me myself, when I decided to leave banking and join a crypto, it was yeah, like believe it or not, it was very it was very frowned upon, right? Like people weren't sure of like that thing, whether it will like it will work out or not, because like that basically like predates like the whole interest in DeFi and like the whole entire bull market, right? Like, you know,
is this like 2019? Like it's pre the kind of pandemic bull
pre-COVID, so like early 2020s, right? So okay. Yeah, pre-COVID there wasn't a lot of interest. I believe like Bitcoin was about like 5,000 US or something. And yeah, what basically I was seeing is that, you know, people are still like kind of scarred from like the whole ICO crash from like 2017, 2018, right? So people were generally like, you know, not that open to it. But yeah, like for me myself, even though it wasn't like a bull market per se, but you know, what I really believe is that, okay, as long as there's innovation within that space, right? Like, you know, it's just a matter of time that it'll come up. It's just a matter of time that people will start to, you know, adopt it and actually like make out some actual use cases out of it.
And did you notice a change? You're saying it was kind of frowned upon, but which I can fully understand back then, you know, like 3 years ago is a lifetime in crypto. But do you think that attitude's changed, like as crypto really exploded onto the mainstream over the last 2 years during the pandemic? And then again, has it changed once more in the last year once we've kind of, you know, gone headfirst into this big bull market or big bear market?
Yeah, I believe whatever we have seen in the last, you know, like 2.5 years, you know, has actually been so massive, right? And it's actually very understated in a sense. Like we literally came from like an the question that you know, a lot of us were discussing when I first joined was, you know, really around whether crypto exchanges will be regulated or not, right? And then I guess like, you know, slowly came to shift into a question as to like whether crypto exchanges can be regulated, right? And then like I think the narrative has been shifting into like, you know, what will be the regulatory impact onto exchanges and then how they will, you know, like be able to like function, right? I think we have gone so far away from, you know, like whatever that we were on, right? Like not just in terms of like the regulation, in terms of like, you know, whatever exchanges are doing, right? What we're actually seeing is that there's also a lot of like voluntary type of action from exchanges, right? Like be it like, you know, open audit reports, you know, like people just trying to provide more transparency on their trading, etc., right? Like, you know, I think everyone is trying to move towards a more transparent and transparent manner, because I think also unfortunately due to like some of like the fallout of several exchanges, you know, like in the last couple of months, that has actually made people very, very conscious about like the reliability or like the safety of an exchange, right? Be it regulatory wise or like, you know, how customer definitely, funds are actually being managed and handled. Yeah, I think those play a huge part in terms of like, you know, whether a user wants to trade or even want to like open an account at an exchange these days. Yeah,
no, 100%. It's been a pretty rough ride for a lot of people in the industry. Yeah. And like I think a lot of listeners tuning into this will be American based or very up to speed with what's happening, you know, at the regulatory upheaval over there. And obviously they saw it happen, FTX and, you know, even Binance, the BUSD stablecoin recently. But what about like in Asia and the Philippines, and like how has Coins found the regulatory environment over there? Is it significantly softer than the US? Is there more clarity? Like, because I think a lot of people listening to this probably aren't as up to date on the climate in Asia. So could you talk on that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So I think in terms of regulation, it is actually pretty clear, right? Like, you know, Philippines was one of the countries that have taken like a head start, right? I think prior to like the VASP licensing, it was actually named like virtual currency, but I guess like, you know, the rebranding is to make sure that it is actually more comprehensive, right? So I think it is a very healthy regulatory landscape for us, in a sense. Is like, no, it's not really just a one-way thing whereby regulator just come around and ask us to fulfill certain requirements, right? There's a lot of like cooperation, then there's a lot of like a discussion between us and also the regulators, right? I think, you know, a lot of it is like, you know, a lot of the time that we spend is really spending on educating on both sides, right? Like sharing with regulators about like how we do certain things, why we do it, right? And then why do we think this is for example, like option A is more superior than option B. I think like all of these conversations, they are also going to serve as foundation in terms of like how the regulation and how like crypto exchanges will be regulated, right? So it is regulated. It is regulated transparency, but, you know, at the same time, you know, we feel that, you know, a lot of the voices, a lot of the concerns, you know, like everyone is very open to share and very, very open to listen to what we have to say as well. That's very important for us.
Yeah, and I'm sure it'll continue to change going forward, because like you say, you know, crypto hasn't been around a long time, and definitely not big centralized firms. So who knows what will happen in the future. So that's regulation. And regarding users, because you touched on it earlier, Philippines obviously became quite well known for the embrace of play to earn within the gaming sector of blockchain. Now that's kind of come right down in the last year, like obviously all of crypto has, but GameFi in particular and P2E games have seen like a pretty stark fall off in users. Have you seen this at your exchange as well? Like is interest dipping in the Philippines more than the US, or what are you seeing there?
Yeah, sure. So in particular for like the play to earn economy itself, I think Philippines, being the market that has grown in like arguably the strongest, right, globally, I think it's still holding up really well. Obviously given the market conditions, like, you know, people are definitely not able to get the same level of returns that they were able to, right? But I kind of believe, like, you know, personally, like, you know, the level that we were seeing in terms of like earning was temporary, but it also helped a lot in terms of like adoption, right? I think in terms of like play to earn gaming, what we are seeing is that like play to earn will become a very strong addition to like the early the gameplay itself, like the playability, and also like, you know, really just functioning as a piece for users to be able to share, essentially becoming like stakeholders of like the entire gaming ecosystem and have some sort of fairness and accountability onto the projects as well, being like co-owners of like the game themselves by holding on to tokens, for example. I think it's actually going to give users a lot more sense of belonging and more stickiness onto the game as well. Because when you know you're part of something, you're a lot more likely to contribute to the stay in the ecosystem, and obviously going to enjoy a little bit more as well when you feel that your voices are heard. I think that's generally what we're seeing.
Okay, and one thing I found particularly interesting when I was looking into coins is this remittance option. So this is like going back years now, it's one of the big arguments for crypto. You know, you see the mass fees that are taken out around the world. I think it was 6.5% on average last year. Like it's a crazy amount of money that's being kind of pulled out from those who you could argue need it the most, you know, sending money home from abroad. Now, Philippines advertise an option here to send remittances anywhere in the world. Is that taken up by a lot of people? And can you explain how that works?
Yeah, sure. So I think arguably, like, you know, this is also one of the things that people notice about like Philippines as an immediate thing, right? If I remember correctly, and if like, say the numbers didn't change so much, I believe like 10% of like the GDP of the Philippines, you know, actually comes from inward remittances, right? These are basically from overseas foreign workers, right? Like people who are just, you know, like gonna need to send money back to their family. And that's like, you know, undeniably like a huge part of like the economy, and also like a huge reason as to like why we see e-wallet and also like crypto being adopted so well, right? So you know, for coins, we actually like participate in this ecosystem taking up several different roles actually, and I find it very interesting as well. So like, you know, I think one of the easiest and the most obvious way that people can do remittances, right, is that they can really just use crypto as a way to send funds back, right? Say, for example, if like you're working in the US, right, or anywhere else in the world, and you want to like send funds back, you know, like one of the common use cases for people is that they'll just send crypto back onto their coins wallet, and then they just you know, just make a very simple, quick and easy sell order, and then, you know, essentially they get a cash out to cash out onto their desired channels, right? And I think for the also to share a little bit for the benefit of like the listeners outside of the US, right? One thing that we really learned, you know, like after we joined Coins, right, is that like Philippines is really a very a very cash heavy, relatively unbanked country, whereby like I believe like 90% of transactions are still done using cash today, right? So it's and you know, I believe like half of the population or more actually doesn't own a bank account. So that's also coming back to like the part that we mentioned early, like, you know, Coins having a very unique positioning, right? Because we're an e-wallet company that we can support like basically just pesos, you know, wallet that you can receive and spend, right? We can also like support like the exchange of cryptocurrency, right? So I think that was like the way we could easily disrupt and create more use cases. And like coming to like the e-wallet itself, we support like cash in and cash out. You know, like people, the preference of like the users here are actually quite different. So instead of just you know, like moving funds between your e-wallet and your bank account, right, there are also several offline cash pickup or drop off locations here, right? So we also like open, and we also like support those channels to avoid ensure that more people, you know, even in the more provincial or the more rural regions of like the country, they get to be able to, you know, access Coins wallet as well, right? Because you know, imagine if you don't have a bank account, the only way that you can participate in the digital economy is really by cash, right? So yeah, so a lot of people will be able to send remittances through that way. You know, at the same time, we also do have like a lot of B2B partnerships. So be it like remittance companies, you know, they'll be able to do FX transactions with us, and then they'll be able to use like coins directly as a disbursement channels, you know, onto all of the cash channels or like even other bank accounts, right? So it's kind of unique position in a sense, right? Because on top of like the crypto and the e-money license, we also are able to deal with like a foreign exchange. So I would say that, you know, like in terms of like our capability to serve the consumers and also to serve the businesses, I think they are, you know, they are of equal priority for us, right? And then we've been able to like, you know, adopt growth on both sides as well.
Yeah, I just think the whole area of remittances is just so interesting to look at with crypto, because it, yeah, like I say, for years now it's been mooted as, you know, one of the real use cases. You know, sometimes people who kind of struggle to come up with use cases, they do point towards remittances. And even like I was in El Salvador last summer, which is, like you say, 10% for Philippines, like I think it's 24% of the GDP in El Salvador. So it's massive. But they haven't really seen that pick up with Bitcoin. And like, I always think like, yeah, for stable coins, like you skip the volatility and then you can cut out the fees. So that's why I was really interested to see something like the Coins initiative. So yeah, I guess that'll be interesting to see if that picks up going forward. And what about, like, have you noticed, like, how long do you think this bear market will last? And do you think, like is it a real challenge running a crypto company in the current climate?
Yeah, sure. I think a lot of the peers in similar positions as us will share the same sentiment, right? Like to us, it's actually a little bit more conducive for us to be building like use cases during the bear market, right? I think like during the bull market, it's actually a lot harder to build an actual product, given that there's a lot going on, right? In terms of like the attention of the users, you know, they could be focused on a lot of different things, right? People could be focused on meme coins for an extended period of time, and then they move onto something else, right? Which are I think those things they actually serve like a they have their place, right? You know, so they basically serve as a way for community to express themselves, right? For really people to gather around, you know, without like the restrictions of like the nationality or where they're from or even languages, right? But yeah, I think like, you know, those things are really good for experiments, and then like sometimes good things come out of it, right? But you know, coming to like this type of market, like to us, you know, we're really still we're working just the same as what we have been, right? As compared to like during the bull market, like a couple of things that we're working on, right? Like say on the remittance front, even though we have several ways like B2B partnership or like direct, directly having users send funds back to their account. You know, like we also like exploring other things such as like Bitcoin Lightning Network being a way to do remittance, right? We're also like speaking to several partners around the world. And I think, that's also like one of the next thing on our roadmap that we want to focus on, right? And we also like a Ripple ODL exchange, whereby like a number of like businesses, you know, like serve the end customers, right, to be able to do remittance through that. So I kind of see us as agnostic in terms of like what method people want to use to carry out their intended transaction, right? But as a platform, we really want to build and facilitate, you know, like we just want to make sure that people are able to do what they want within their selected choice or means of transfer, right? We're able to be able to support there. So yeah, I guess like during bear market, you know, it's actually a lot more conducive, because like we get to build, you know, like what we think has a real use cases, right? Because yeah, I think like when like the market is relatively cooler, like people are just more focused in terms of like, oh hey, you know, like what can I use this for aside from like, say, for example, speculation, which is, you know, like what a lot of people do as well, right? So yeah, real use case is really good in terms of like, you know, how long the bear market is gonna last. I think it's kind of hard to tell, right? Because like, you know, essentially, I just don't think we're going to go back to like, you know, the 2020 type of like bull market. The next bull market is going to be a bit more controlled in a sense. But I think it all depends on like how the macro backdrop is going to like, you know, turn better for us, right? Right now, you can see like interest rate going up, you know, like all that is going to make it more costly for people to invest in general. And there's just no way to beat that, right? Those are like macroeconomics, you know, they just play into people's like a trade-off in their everyday decisions. But I do think like, you know, just give it some time, right? A couple of months or even like a couple of years, you know, like the market will actually be able to, you know, focus on a lot of good quality projects, and a lot more real world use cases will actually come out of it.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. And just to finish up then, do you have any parting advice for anyone else considering making the jump over from TradFi to crypto?
Yeah, I guess like, you know, I actually get that a lot, like you know, just from like, you know, old acquaintances and old friends, right? A lot of them they actually reconnected as well, like, you know, wanting to know more about this. But I guess like also during this market, right, everyone is gonna be, you know, able to think and make their considerations a lot more like consciously, right? Taking things in a more level-headed way, right? Like, see, for example, I believe like, you know, the due diligence checklist still needs to be done, right? Let's say whoever wants to join crypto has just so many varied ways or options that they can do, right? You could be, you know, like working for a Web3 company on a fully remote basis, right? You know, you could also like, you know, join like a regulated exchange like Coins. I think all that comes into play, right? But, you know, ultimately, I think, you know, it's still going to be, you know, it's still going to be a very different type of job than as compared to TradFi, right? Given that, like, within TradFi, my general sense is that everything is relatively stable, right? Like, you know, we just want to make sure that the whole process, the whole flow still works. And that's like, you know, how they've been able to function so well, right? But I guess as compared to like Web3 and crypto, you know, it's every single day when we wake up, we are going to think that, okay, so instead of trying to like make sure that, you know, I can complete my work, right? I can I can actually help my clients trade, right? What I'll be thinking a lot is, you know, how can we change this thing for the better, right? Like, how can we use crypto to replace, you know, something that we've been doing every day? You know, how can we make sure that, you know, people are able to trade with like minimal slippages? How can we improve the price in general, right? So it's an iterative process, right? So even like, say right now I'm in the Philippines, you know, like we actually like go around and really like look at all possible use cases, right? Even things like money changer, fintech solutions, right? We look at, you know, what people are paying in terms of like spending, right? When it comes to like FX and all of that. And we constantly challenge ourselves like as to like whether can we do something better than that, right? So I think the short version of this, you know, is really whether, you know, do you have your own personal goals aligned with the company, right? If I say you want to be here to you know, make the world a better place, right? You want to like make some innovation really happen and be adopted by people. I think Web3 and crypto is absolutely the best place to work for, at least for myself. Yeah.
All right, there's a ringing endorsement for anyone considering making the jump. That's Eli Tan of Coins, and I will throw descriptions if you want to check out Coins. It's coins.bh and Eli himself in the description. So, yeah, thanks for joining the show today, Eli.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me to the show as well. Really great to like meet with you as well, Dan. Thank you so much.